Hello and welcome to Roll Together Podcast. Thank you for joining us for these podcast versions of our stream shows from Twitch. You can always find our Twitch schedule at twitch.tv/rolltogetherrpg/schedule. You can also find all of our previous shows on podcasts or YouTube by searching Roll Together RPG. These podcasts are sponsored by Phoenix Dice and supported by Bearded Ladies. Links to them will be in the description. Please do leave us a review and thank you for joining us. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome one and all to this Blades in the Dark Cult of the Circle. Thank you very much for joining us here for an evening of derring do and lovely crimes. My name is Tom. I use he, him pronouns, and I will be your blade master for the evening. Ah, the city of Duskville, a city of intrigue and wickedness, a city where the dead walk the streets and ghosts haunt every building. What you're about to see this evening is the tale of some criminals, well, entrepreneurs here in this terrifying city, and maybe a few little ghosts and ghoulies, maybe even a few gods to keep you entertained this evening. I have been keeping you for far too long, so it is my delight to introduce you to some of our players.
Hello, my name is Evie, I use she, her pronouns, and I am playing who uses any pronouns.
Hi, I'm Scarlett, I'll be playing Hag, who is the Whisperer.
Hello there, my name's Josh, and I will be playing Wraith, the Spider.
It is, again, you and your wife patrol the side of the river, taking in, you know, and when Wraith sits in his tiny burnt out little box, this is something that stays with him, because this, to be amongst your people, seeing them hard at work, knowing that there is going to be good food, it's going to be health, you know, sort of they're growing medicinal plants, and you are next to the woman who you have tied your soul to, you know, you trust each other implicitly, you are as one, you know, in trust and in marriage, and this is the last really happy moment you have in this land, and you're not one to indulge in fantasy, but when you are lost within your own mind, there is a part of you who just wants to say stop here, no further, and I can feel the mud beneath my sandals, and I can feel the warmth from this woman. And that doesn't mean that the young man who comes running, that he will never reach you. That young man who comes running, and he is one of the young Nassar. He still hasn't graduated, but you know, and you're used to this, you know, they send the runners and you've done it. Nassar's, you're, he shouldn't be out. This is not good. This is not good. Your presence is requested at the palace.
Are you well? You are out of breath. You must have ran. You must have put a lot of boot into your running.
I ran as fast as I could. The commander requests gestures to both of you. Requests your presence.
Of course. This must be very serious if we both must come.
Yes, yeah.
Leave our posts.
Yes, as soon as possible.
We will head up now. Shall we leave, dear?
So takes it, looks him up, and yes, by all means. She seems hesitant.
You run along and tell the commander we will be there shortly. We will begin making our way now. Send him off and then turn. Is everything all right? Are you okay?
I do not recognize the boy.
is wearing the clothes of the apprentices. Really struggling, really trying not to make Star Wars references. He's a young Padawan.
The younglings.
The youngling.
Master Skywalker, there's too many of them. He says, picking up a Star Wars mug. Which, like,
yeah. Speaking of which.
Yay! Yeah. You say that. You say, well, you know, he's wearing the He's in the sort of the tabard, the tunic of a young apprentice, and she's hesitant. And again, in your dreamscape, you're like, I should have done something. I should have listened. But everything's fine. Everything is fine. The two of you set off at a good. I think again, it's not seen to be. To run. That's an Asar does not run. But you are definitely walking at it. And again, she is of a similar height to you. So you're both keeping pace with each other as you're walking north. As we said, like up near the I'm trying to think of like forgive me friends, it's been a long day. But basically the birth of the river.
The mouth of the river, yes.
Sort of up. Where the, again, like, the river is born under the palace, you know, it was built. And again, you say that's risky to build a building over the river, especially something that floods. And they're like, we're aware, we're not stupid. We've worked towards this. And that has also made the palace very luscious, you know, fresh water taken. Hopefully because it's the mouth of the river, some of the crocodillos and odd things that exist probably aren't at that point. Although there is talk about, like, yeah, sometimes things crawl out of the river and then it's up to not only the Nassar but the house staff to like get a stick and go, no, get back in the river. Get out here. You will not Vera, yeah, go ahead.
As soon as we get to the palace, we know as serving Nassar that the first thing you must do when you enter the palace is you must go to your barracks, and you have to change into your ceremonial armor. You're not allowed to walk around the palace as an active Nassar without your ceremonial armor on, and you're definitely not allowed to be in the presence of the king without the Vero without it. So I would go put mine on, and she would go off and do hers because her department's in a different place. Yeah. So, yeah, and mine is gold armor, like a breastplate missing the midriff is exposed, with brown. Not leather, but like a brown material, like a cotton material, but thicker and rougher than cotton, underneath to stop the chafing on the metal and stuff. And the same on the leggings, there'd be like very basic gold greaves, and gold gauntlets that I would wear with browns. And my wife would wear a similar sort of thing, instead of wearing a lighter brown, she has pure white.
Yes, the pure
garments on.
Folks, we are pre-recording this, but I do know Josh loves to make Hero Forge, so I myself am very excited. Yes, I'm very excited to see what these ceremonial armors look like. Again, in the future, maybe if you hadn't had to change your armor, things would be different. But it's not right. No. Again, and this is, there's a reason for protocol, and it would also be so dishonourable, you know, to turn up in the sandals you were walking in the mud with. I mean, it's sacred mud, but no. So you change, and you hurry up the stairs. Where are you going?
I'd just like to point out that as we are pre-recording this, I am listening to music in the background, and it's just changed to sad music, and I don't like it.
Oh, Josh, why do you think this is going to be sad?
I don't know, Tom. I made you cry in a one-on-one. I get the feeling you're going to try the same to me.
I will do my best.
I have it hard. You can't make me cry. Anyway, yes, I will make my way to where I know the commander would be, which would be near the, either at the side of the Emperor or near, as close to him as he could potentially be. Emperor Vero.
I mean,
so many different names for the things.
So many, you know, sort of. He's the Sun King. You know, it's a different, yeah, but. Ooh, that Moon King out there. Ooh, the Moon Pig. Ooh. Yeah,
dot
we're not.
Com.
Ooh, I'm going to make cards. As a rather laid back guy, but you're like, oh, God, the God. Oh, moons. Anyway, Algan. He's an older gentleman. Has served the Pharaoh's father alongside your parents, and has been a parental figure for you and your wife in that sort of that way of just going, cool, I'm going to let you get like 10 shades kicked out of you. And then you've come out of this and just going, right, now you understand what it's truly like. And he, again, you two are one of the best. So when he spots you hurrying, he sort of just like looks at you and, what is the rush?
We were summoned here by you.
Sets his jaw. I sent no runner.
The runner wore the clothing of the young apprentices.
They are the apprentices. There. At which point the screaming starts. Valen, again, it is difficult to think about this. There's panic. The staff of the house screaming. There is fire. There is noise. Argan, and you hurrying straight up, and the great sort of doors to the throne room barricaded. Both of you, again, you are, I'm just giving you a lot of trauma here. If you had been a different man, maybe you would have been stronger and became, but Argan is a strapping, you know, both of you smacking hard against the door. And when you get the door open, cracking it open, it is to a massacre. There are servants lying, throats slit, mist pouring out their mouth. This is not a good way to die. And then you see the wife of the Pharaoh. Her head is gone. Something has crushed it. Her ghost is swinging out and wildly just taking out friend, foe, whatever. And you see your Pharaoh on a throne, a peaceful man, as I said, but one hand he holds a rod, not unlike the one your wife holds, you know, to show respect to the dead, but another he holds a spear. And he sits, and that spear is driven straight through his chest, and he is impaled onto the throne. He's not quite dead yet. And you hear, again, it is the roar of war. Argan screaming treachery. And because indeed you see people, boys, men, women, in the armor that you wear, and they are driving their daggers into the backs of the civilians. And you also see, standing, taking their hands off the sphere, turns and is an enigma. A person in flowing robes as one who would walk the desert would wear, and over their face, the void of sand, cold bone, a white, faceless creature that just turns from killing the closest thing you have to a god. You're not a fool, you know that he is but a man, but you think, you know, it's that weird thought of going, you know, as you clock the people lying on the floor and you're like, oh, he's gone and she's gone. And I saw him playing with his ball like 2 days ago. They've killed the children, they've killed the women, they've killed everyone. Argan running, and this figure standing just reaches out a hand, and you watch the soul of Argan out his just. And now there's another writhing, twisting creature. Valen, what the fuck do you do?
I do the same as this Argan. I pick up weapon. I draw my weapons, and I just charge. I try to get through as many of the people who are fighting as I can, slaughtering more like as I can, try and take them out. But I'm trying to get to Pharaoh and trying to get to this creature that is this figure that is murdered him.
This is, and again, it's you. You have picked up, which is basically a scimitar, you know, and you are slashing. And it is such a difficult thing, you know. In the heat of battle, it is difficult enough to fight, but they have come in wearing your skin. It is one thing to kill a pharaoh, and it happens, you know. And you're not a fool. You know it happens, but to come in as his bodyguards, as your family, you know, and it, like I said, like, you have a respect for your blood. These are, where did they get these armor from? Where are your siblings? You know, why is it just you and your commander whose ghost is wildly swinging, and you, I mean, would you like to roll me skirmish?
Would I, very much like to roll you skirmish. You have to roll two and pick the lowest.
Yeah.
That's a one.
Alan. It's terrible. The creature, the devil, standing, having ripped the soul out of this honourable man, you know, this warrior, but this a philosopher in his own right, you know, he in the diplomatic meetings would stand alongside the other, like, trade, and, you know, would give and asked you for your advice, and again, you're not a fool. You know that you are being positioned to step up, to be the one who, when an angry merchant comes to you, doesn't dismiss it, actually thinks about what would be best for your people. And that devil stands with that blank face and watches as you attack. And your own, what you would consider your own family, drive their weapons into your back, but you keep going. You come. Yeah. Where is your wife? Is she safe? Is she? And that's the thing again. Valance, sweet man, that is your weakness, that you love your family and you love your wife, and that's all it takes. And that's not, because that's not right. That's not right to try and, because they might have tried to drive that out of you, and maybe Argan was weak that he didn't, because he respected you and he thought he liked that brain. He didn't want a machine. He wanted a thinking, loving man, a man who loved his kingdom. And it is enough that you feel low on your back, knives dragging. No, you gotta keep going. Gotta keep, you know. You realise that you have dropped your weapon, but you are crawling. And you are crawling. And you are on the steps. And the Pharaoh... Betrayed! We are betrayed! And he tries to reach out for you. Just to have one final human contact. But... this devil just, unconcerned, gets the end of the sphere and just taps it. Thus falls the kingdom. Valen, you collapse. And it shouldn't be like this. You feel the creature rolls you over and looks down at you in this pure, white emptiness. So like...
Do not cry. So it goes. You are but a man.
Reaches down and just gently, like, takes the tear that's pouring down your and follows it down your cheek. Rot, decay, just such you are dying, but it's not enough for you to just to die. This creature, this thing from, and again, your brain can't comprehend what this. It's not human. It's not. It can't be that its mere touch causes such decay. And again, the creature just sort of like tilts its head, nods, and steps over your body, and you die. And later, you have to wonder if there was nothing, if your ghost was sealed somewhere else. You know. You don't remember being like the other ghosts, angry and violent. Just the void, maybe you've forgotten, but you are lying on the palace steps and then you are awake again. And you are lying in your bed.
Look around. Used, unsure as to what I witnessed was a dream or if it was real. Try to speak. Try to say Talia's name.
Try and say Talia. You have probably never been more thirsty in your life. Just dry, like you have swallowed a stomach full of sand. You croak, and you see a light, a candle is lit, and your Talia is there, and she is exhausted. You know, she has... that you're surprised that you didn't hear before, because she's... some things in her lungs, her eyes are dark. You want water? She comes, she very slowly, and again, you the urge is, you know, you are so thirsty, but you have seen what it is like when a man is dying of thirst. But she tempers it, wets your lips, and it takes a while
but you are eventually, your voice comes back. Her hands are, they feel very warm, they feel feverish. But yes, enough water is given to you that your voice comes back.
Are you okay? What happened? I have such vague memories of the Pharaoh. Is everything okay?
No. Argon is dead. The Pharaoh is dead. You, husband mine, you died. They say you killed the Pharaoh.
What?
Killed the Pharaoh.
We're not in the afterlife. This is...
Again, like the feverish... It touches the other side of your face. Then where the creature touched you. No, you are not. I am... It's taken a lot out of me, but I was able to bring you back. You didn't want to leave. You didn't want to leave me.
What has happened to the kingdom? Where is the people?
We're an open revolution. It seems that for the Nastar to turn against their pharaoh is most dishonorable. You have been gone for 3 days. I managed to find I helped. And you look at her. She has clearly taken some blows of her own. But we managed to drive her back, Arkan. I was able to speak to Arkan before I sent him to the desert. He was furious, creature of fire, but he spoke of a being with no face.
He spoke to me and said, "I am but a man." Before everything went dark, I tried to reach the Pharaoh, but I was unable to. He had a spear through his chest. The faceless one pushed it further before I could reach him.
We have failed. We have failed in our duty to protect our Pharaoh. Many of those who have survived have taken their own lives in dishonor. But I needed to. I refused to let you go. I knew there was something. There was something wrong with that boy.
No. Yes. One of them. A deceiver.
A viper.
I do not. Cannot stay here.
No.
We have to leave.
No, you are. They believe now for you you're dead, but if they find out that you were there, you must. Our duty is to the Pharaoh and to his line. They have slaughtered many in the palace, but if only Arkan was here. There are stories of a young heir, one who wished to learn of the world, that has taken to the seas, to possibly, from what I recall, to the industrial city of Duskville.
Bird speaking, this city. I'm sort of feeling left side of my face.
There is a healing poultice there, and she has obviously put sort of cloth. Neither of you are healers, but it's that. And Valen, it is that horror of, like, if you feel a wound and then you're like, okay, oh, that's bone. And you can feel, and you can slightly, again, like, I'm not necessarily saying you're like sniffing at your fingers, but like as you take it away, there's the rot of flesh. There's, it seems the trail that goes down the open wound. And again, sort of, I did what I could. It seems that perhaps you were touched by some unnatural blade, or...
It felt like it was his finger, his hand caused it. Mm. Is it some sort of alchemical mixture? Magic?
I know from my studies that there's the ghost touch that can cause it, but yes, I have never seen anything quite like this. I have seen the effects of being touched by a ghost, but yes, possibly an alchemical, an acid maybe, but it is not well responded to my healing, though granted I am not a master healer, but no, you are. I am fortunately above suspicion. I was seen fighting back, but you, oh my sweet husband, you are seen as a traitor to these people. And I do not know. We still, the few friends that we have, I think will be able to find you. To be honest, this is your choice. Do you continue your duty or simply walk out into the desert?
If you are exempt from suspicion, then you must stay and you must continue the service to the line, to the Pharaoh, to what he stood for. And I too will still serve, but if I am branded a traitor, I must prove otherwise. You say there is an heir in the city of Duskfall. I have never left these lands, but I will travel there and I will find them. And I will find out as much as I can about these faceless ones, these creatures that have this decaying touch, ghost touch, as you call it. My wife, I will bring the air back. I will not return here till I have succeeded. If at any point you need to come to Duskfall as well, please do. Do not stay here if your life becomes endangered. If one of the neighboring kingdoms comes in and takes over and deems that all of this Pharaoh's Nazars must die, then flee. Do not fight. I will be in Duskfall for you, waiting for you, should you need it. Should you need me.
Your wife is a very contained woman and is looking at you with like a stony look of like, such is my duty. She is very focused, but there is just tears just pouring down her cheeks.
I will struggle to stand up. I'll walk over to her, knowing full well that I have this injury on my face. I won't kiss her, but I will grab her head and do the whole head-to-head touch thing.
Yeah. You just... And again, you feel the heat from this woman who has probably not slept in 3 days. You realise, like, the bandage... You are bandaged around your wounds. You have, again... to your credit, most of your wounds are to your back. You know, if you're gonna die a soldier's death, you know, you didn't turn your back. You, whatever guilt that the man who becomes known as Rafe may feel, this man who was dragged from the gates of the death to back again, he can say that he served his pharaoh, and he will serve whatever heir he finds. And Rafe, what one item do you take as a memory of your wife, that as we look back on your little shrine that we see placed there?
The wedding ring.
The wedding ring.
It's her wedding ring. It's not my wedding ring, it's hers. But it's almost like a... well, it is both of our wedding rings. Mm. They would have been designed so that they can interlock with each other and become
rings.
One ring. Yeah. One ring to rule them all. I have both of our wedding rings.
You had a ring as a soldier, as the Nassar, but that... No. It's love. Yeah. It's a long journey to the sea, which is odd because it's not that far, but to travel quietly, quickly, to turn your back on the city that has been your life. The tragedy of a good man who has to leave. You know that she's not going to leave. You told her, but she knows her duty. And you can hope. You can hope. And the stories are right. The sea is full of stars. And you see the whales. But something has died. Not just you, but you look down at the beauty of the stars and you don't feel... The poet in you is gone. The beauty of the river. And you travel to... you knew heat before, but the smog of the city of Duskvold, arrive in the docks and to begin an investigation. And now you are... This has been 2 years. And you were asked to rob a manor house. And now your associate is dead. And that's odd because you... Again, in your meditative state, you try and remember the creature, the being, the person you think named... Who or Norm, and it skitters. It's just someone was there, and there was a voice, but it's a little bit like if you heard someone else telling you a story about the person, you do not hear their voice, you hear your own retelling, and a mask. And of course, you don't trust masks, because a mask can hide so many secrets, even the mask that you wear over the bottom of your face to hide the wound that has never closed. And that's cruel in a way. You know, if it was a true decay, maybe it would take your face and that would be it. But no, this remains open. And now you have gone from a beautiful house with a beautiful wife to the soot-stained coal yard. Rafe, you open your eyes, and it's dark. It's always so dark, even in a city full of... And again, the light of the prison across the water flickers. And there is a knock at the hatch.
dagger in hand.
Oh god, yeah. Just
approach. Oh. Who is there?
Are you the one that left the bread in the water?
I was, yes.
Are you, you're Mr. Rafe?
Who is asking?
My name is Button Bill. I was one of the Bill Hooks. I've been asked to give you a message. You can hear like the sound of paper. The Button Bill is clearly trying to push like a piece of paper up through your hatch.
I will. Is the paper coming through the hatch, or is it?
I think there's the, because it's that warped wood. Like there is like a slight. I think that's the difficulty of like again this. Like, if someone really wanted to break through this trapdoor, they probably could. But there is like a slight. But if you. Like, if you were looking through and, like, having a light, you could see. But you could see, like, the tip of some paper. Is kind of like, you could probably, if you wanted to, just sort of, like... I might make you roll finesse just to make sure you don't tear it, but...
I'll undo the hatch from my side, because it's got a lock on either side. And I will lift it slightly, like, not even an inch. Take the paper with my hand, with the hand with the dagger in. Take it and pull it through, push the lid down again, the hatch down again.
You look at a piece of paper which shows the drawing of, it looks like a street map, and you think, huh, that doesn't look unlike Six Towers, where you were, you know, a couple of weeks ago, maybe actually closer to a month now, maybe. It simply reads, to the esteemed Mr. Rafe, we have things to discuss. Please come at your earliest convenience to, shows you the street view. Yours sincerely, R.
Do not know anybody with the name R.
No. But it's mighty interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. he thinks about it. Knocks on the top of the hatch again.
It's like some... You've got a feeling that whoever is sort of has dropped down from the ladder and struck. Hello?
Thank you for providing this note.
You're very welcome, sir.
You may leave whenever you feel ready to.
All right. Sorry.
But please feel free to stay.
Oh. I mean, it's been slightly falling off the ladder. Like, oh, all right. I'll keep. Would you like me to keep an eye on your tower while you're gone, sir?
If you wouldn't mind, that would be much appreciated. I shall bring you some food back when I return.
Like, the smallest thumb comes up through the crack, and it's like. Just so
you could fit your thumb through the crack, but not a piece of paper. I'm suspicious of you.
I've got very long fingers, sir.
Make yourself comfortable.
Whatever you say, sir. as Button Bill falls off,
I will gear myself up again, fully clothed, all my weapons and everything, and anything that I would need. And instead of going out the hatch, I go out through the hole that is in the roof that's covered over in vines and stuff. It's an exit that I try not to use too much. more as an emergency exit if there was ever an attack. But I will go through it. I don't want him to see me.
No.
Or know that I've left.
I will. As we come to the conclusion, do you consider this hideout of yours to be burnt?
Now that somebody is living underneath, yes. So I don't ever leave anything there anyway.
You've packed your into your coat. You've packed what do we have? Your ring, the knife, which is at your side.
Ring and knife, face mask, everything else, weapons and everything, all on me anyway. I don't carry too much around.
You had a cushion, which you can leave. You know, yes, every. Yeah. That was just me trying to establish rather than, okay. Also, you're leaving this grand piano. Also, are you going to bring food back for Button Bill?
Might send some food to him.
Yeah, it's fair. But you head off to a... There is a church and a someone named R who wishes to speak to you. Well, folks, I didn't make Josh cry, but I made us both quite sad there, I feel. Well, that certainly happened, it did not. Such lovely crimes. Now, if you have enjoyed what we've put out for you here this evening, you'll find us playing Dungeons & Dragons at Roll Together RPG. That's Mondays and Tuesdays, 6 p.m. UK time. And on Fridays, we play other TTRPGs, such as Blades in the Dark. Now, all our shows can be found at twitch.tv/RollTogetherRPG, and you can find all of our content archived at youtube.com/RollTogetherRPG. There are podcast versions of all our shows available. Well, good podcasts are available. Simply search for Roll Together RPG. Now, massive thank you to the D20 Club on Patreon. I can't do the heart symbol, but I do adore every single one of you. Now, there's a link in the chat if you feel like you want to join these fine folks by donating one of your local currency, which, as we have well established in the world of Dungeons & Dragons, is worth one goat. We'll be absolutely delighted to join you. As previously mentioned, they made us a Discord, they made us a wiki. They are top. Thank you very much to our supporters and our sponsors. Don't forget, if you search on social media, we are Roll Together RPG. Thank you for watching. Stay safe and don't let the blue coats catch you.